1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 11, or chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we are exhorted, each one of you, and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." The message says it like this. It says, "With each of you, we were like a father to his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God, who called us into his own kingdom, into this delightful life." I shared a couple of pictures with Chris to put up of my father, since it was Father's Day. So this is a picture of Dad sitting on the porch of the cabin where Mom still lives now. And he's got one of his favorite uniforms on, the flat kind of driving cap that he had different colors of. A funny story about my dad, because there's only a few of you here, you didn't get to experience the first service this morning. When my dad was going through cancer surgery and follow-up treatments and seeing his doctors and things, he shows up in the doctor's office and he's you know, looking him over and going over things. And Dad's got this patch of hairless skin on his leg down here on the inside of his calf. And the doctor said, "Well, what is that all about? We got to look into this because that's kind of weird." And my dad every night sharpened his knives. And so that was the place that he would test on his leg. And his knives were sharp enough, you know, it'd scrape all the hair off. But it left this wide track of just hairless. And the doctor thought that something very weird was going on. So, interesting story. Anyway. Yeah. There's another scripture that I associate with Father's Day, although it doesn't mention fathers, but it does reference the guiding factors in Timothy's life, and you'll recall that those factors were his mother and his grandmother. That comes from 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17. The NIV says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The message says, "But don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why, you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful in one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live in God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us." This morning, I want us to think about those words. There's nothing like the written Word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. I went to Dollar General here in town this week, and I found a familiar friend. I hadn't seen them in the store there before, and it struck me when I saw them that it was Father's Day soon. My dad would have been happy with the deal that I got, and he probably would have come home with a few packs of his own in a yellow bag. This is what I saw there at the dollar store. I don't know if you're familiar or not with it. Dean knows what it is. J.B. Weld. I used to get Dad a couple of tubes of J.B. Weld for birthdays or Father's Day. Santa would sneak some into Dad's stocking at Christmas. The steel-reinforced epoxy in the original cold weld formula ends up being a deep gray or a black. The wood weld is more of a brown color when it is cured. JB Weld can be mixed with a stick on cardboard until it is thick and it heats up a little, and then it begins to do its magic. And you can use it to repair, rebuild, or stick together, reshape up, as God's word says, basically anything. And if you're quick enough, you can clean it up with warm water and soap. Al shared with me during the break between the two services that there's also a clear JB Weld that you can use if you don't want to let your wife know that you've broken something. The point is, it holds everything together. And that's a key element in my definition of a father's love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And the message says it like this: this is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why: so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, to tell the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted, and anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. I wanted to share a parallel verse of the message today with the other scripture that I chose, so that it could come alongside, not unlike a parable, to illustrate the point. I love the way that it uses simpler language, that it uses language that we might use when talking to each other on the street to illuminate points that really matter by pulling them out of the text. This is how God loved the world, that he gave his Son, his one and only Son. So I asked how many people were fathers, and I won't make you guys stand up. You can raise a hand. How many of you are fathers this morning? Okay. And how many of you mothers and fathers have just one son? If you have more than one, or you have sons, or just daughters, or sons and daughters, either way, I'm sure if you have children at all, you can connect to the depth of this sacrifice, especially if you take your mind back in time and go to a point when it was just you and your firstborn, and remember how your life changed and what that love was about to have that child that was you and that was them, and it was something that changed their life forever. You know how much you love all of your children, and on this Father's Day, I wanted us to reflect on just how much our Father God loves us. That our worth to him was worth the life of his one and only Son should tell us a great deal about him. It's a thought that never really should leave our minds, I don't think. It should also make us think long and hard about the choice that one might make to refuse to believe in God's one and only Son. That level of rejection isn't in any way something to even be spoken of lightly. This morning, the love of the one true God for his adopted children of all races, not just his chosen people, the Jews, but all other peoples on the earth, his love for what the verses refer to as the world, is so great that he gave up his Son, his one and only Son, so that we might be drawn back into relationship with him, drawn away from sin and held together with love, like how J.B. Weld does. That Son that was sacrificed in this is the same Son that is part of the Trinity with the Father and the Holy Spirit, so close to the Father that he was essentially, literally, sacrificing part of himself. That same Son was with God in the beginning and took part in the creation of all things. That same Son is defined throughout Scripture as the living and abiding Word. That same Son, Jesus, defined himself as the way, the truth, and the life, and said before his death and resurrection that no man comes to the Father except through me. That Son, Jesus, was living water is the bread of life, is the good shepherd. He's the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. He never committed a sin. He never caved into temptation, never failed to tell the truth, healed the blind, made the lame walk again, drove out demons, walked on water, calmed the storm, fed 30,000 on a few loaves and fish, and fulfilled every promise of the prophets concerning the Messiah.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning, take your best behaved, most beloved, I know we don't love any one of them more than another, but child, and see what their resume looks like. It can't add up. If you were the best child your parents ever had, it couldn't add up. The last book of John, in the last verse of John 25, says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room enough for the books that would be written. So imagine the whole world filled to overflowing with who Jesus was and how much he loved us, and therefore how much his Father loved him. And imagine then putting that on a scale on one side and all of us climbing up on the other side. We couldn't even budge that scale to get things to balance out, let alone weigh our way. So this sacrifice that Jesus willingly did with the love of his Father in heaven guiding him, mixed together with his love for us. Two-part epoxy is just a little bit of an illustration of what happens to that bond that God forged that day. You've started with something broken and not very useful. In fact, it's not whole, and you put two parts together. The sacrifice of God's one and only Son, it didn't end in death. In fact, Jesus came away with the keys to death and destruction. He conquered them, and he was resurrected and returned to sit at the right-hand side of the Father. I think it's important for us to realize that he sits there now. He's not standing waiting for the next thing to do. He sits because there's nothing left to do to bind us together with him. As he said on the cross, it is finished. So he's at rest by the Father. When that resurrection happened, he walked out of that tomb and subsequently ascended to heaven. The plan was complete. All the pieces had fit together perfectly, and we were once and for all, through faith and faith alone in the Son of God, held together with our dad. Today, I'd like us to say together, Happy Father's Day, if you will. Happy Father's Day. Since I became a father, I think that including today, I've preached a Father's Day sermon perhaps half a dozen times or more. I think that June must be a good month for pastors to get away on a summer vacation. This week, Pastor Kurt and his family are celebrating their oldest daughter's college graduation ceremony. I think that happened yesterday, and it was great that they got to do that, even though they had to wait and be delayed. But that was awesome. So having been a father now for over 21 years, I think about this next verse quite a bit. There's a picture of Simon and our old dog, Sebastian, my dad, and myself. And see, Simon, I think, is about sixth grade there. That's before he grew a foot in 1 year. He was saving up all of his energy. Ephesians 6, verse 4, says, Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And the message says it like this: Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. I'd like to thank my dad, who isn't with us anymore, for taking me by the hand, for taking these verses to heart and making them a practice of his life. I have tried to do the same, although I'm sure there are plenty of times where I've exasperated my children and I've come down too hard. But thankfully, there's the love of our Father in heaven, and my dad's J.B. Weld holding us together. After he passed away in 2014, about a year later, I wrote this, and 6 years later, it still resonates with me. It has to do with memories, and some of you will recall, some of you are eating the exact same things at lunch in school now, so you won't have to think back too much. But do you remember hot lunches in school? Back in the day, I usually took a brown paper bag lunch that my mom packed for me. I'd try to trade some of those things in it with friends who did the same, or I'd enjoy it as it was. The ding-dongs wrapped in foil, I kept. On Fridays, though, I'd most often ditch most of it in the bag in favor of the Friday hot lunch. And Friday hot lunch then was pizza and tater tots with a salad on the side. Sometimes you'd get a second slice, and we had those pastel blue and green and cream-colored trays with rectangle shapes molded into them. The rectangle-shaped pizza slice slid right into place, fitting perfectly in the entree shape on that tray. By the time you got to your seat at the long picnic-style table and slid into your place on the bench, a little pool of grease would have formed on the top of that slice of pizza. The crust, it was never crisp. It was always folded into your hand, kind of into a taco shape, the cheese and the grease and the sauce sliding down in the middle. It was divine. It was worth saving up my change during the week or my lawn mowing money for. To this day, I love that taste. I love the taste of frozen pizza. I don't care what anyone says. It takes me back to hot lunch days and to simpler times. I've burned the roof of my mouth so many times, grabbing up a slice and folding it in too quick, that I've lost count. But one thing that I can't duplicate, oddly enough, is the comfort of my mom's cotto salami or bologna sandwiches. And I'm sure that's because of her homemade bread. The yellow mustard I used to put on everything, combined with the glorious taste of the nacho cheese Doritos that were just coming into their own in the 1970s and 80s, was a near-perfect mouthful. I remember once being on a particular field trip that we took to see locks and dams by bus somewhere in Illinois, and it was one of those times that I was far enough away from home and my parents to feel lonely on the bus. I took out my Doritos and mom's sandwich and ate my lunch early, longing for a taste of something familiar. I got into a close call that day. So excited to be finally free of the bus, I jumped out of the door and sprinted across what was actually a road with oncoming traffic coming right at us. I thought we were in a parking lot, and a chaperone grabbed me by the collar and yanked me to safety, letting me know how stupid and non-observant I was for good measure. So even today, when I reach for Doritos or take a bite of cotto salami sandwich, I feel a little homesick. And I know this might not make sense and it's a little strange, but I feel a tiny bit like I just got missed getting run over by a car. Loneliness and the sense of a new start, a do-over, combine into one odd mouthful of school lunch. It's been a long time since I traced my finger over the words bluebird molded into the metal back of a school bus seat in front of me and fantasized about being anywhere but on that green pleather seat. And yet, it hasn't been that long. Memories are very strong. Since the passing of my own father, I seem to be flooded with them at a moment's notice, unexpected and for the most part uncontrolled. I'm packing a sense of profound sadness around in a little brown paper bag. And most days, I would love to trade it in. But I also remember that inside that plain lunch sack was always something else. There was always a note from my mom, some soft words, some good words, probably always a Bible verse, some encouragement that always got me through the day, even though I was embarrassed to read it in public. It held me together when I felt like I was flying apart. So now, more than the unattainable taste of childhood, I long to get off the bus and run down the old gravel driveway into my daddy's arms, to work on a project together, to sit down to dinner together, or to fall asleep watching a movie on a sunny Sunday afternoon. But I guess I'll settle for a simple note, although these days I don't find them in a lunch sack. Mom texts them to me from her smartphone. This morning, as we celebrate our Father's love for us and remember to acknowledge our own fathers, I want you to remember just how this J.B. Weld stuff works. It has two parts, and when you squeeze them a little and mix them up and bond them together, they have the power to hold anything together. In fact, sometimes this union makes broken pieces hold together stronger than you could even believe possible. God's love for us, his love for his son, a father's love, that love this morning can take you from being broken to whole. Amen. It'll hold you together with him forever. His living and abiding word, his son Jesus, promises that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.